We want to also introduce a dear lady, Joanne Reynolds. She started listening to the radio program, and she has been contacting me after every Sunday service telling me that how great I am. And so as far as I'm concerned, young lady, you've just been promoted to deaconess. Yeah. She's here with us today, and I'm really glad to see a face. And I learned where Presidential Estates was. I learned where Fairbanks was, not in Alaska. And I learned where the dump was here in town. So, all right, we're going to have fun today. So let's get right into our Bible lesson. And we're going to start with Revelation number 5 of the 5 greatest revelations that I've received from God since becoming a Christian. And number 5 is what? The decision-making process. Now, there's 3 things that I have taught for 27 years here at Life in Christ Church that's put me sideways to most mainstream or even evangelical or charismatic churches. There's 3 things that I've taught against, if you will, or taught for, that's put me counterclockwise to churches. And the first one is that at Life in Christ Church, we do not believe in the concept of the sovereignty of God. Now, do we believe that God is sovereign? Is anybody going to ever usurp his throne? Is the devil ever going to defeat him? Sooner or later, is it going to be exactly the way he says it is? Is he going to be able to do it by himself? No, because if he could do it by himself, he'd already done it. Can I get an amen? Why? This is a Bible class. Why can't he do it by himself? Oh, I've taught you long enough for you to give me this answer. Why does he need man to do it? The answer by radio internet, the answer was he has to have man's cooperation to do it. And why does he have to have man's cooperation? My gosh, students of the Bible, he has to have man's cooperation because he turned it over to man. He gave Adam dominion. He told him to subdue it. And when God says something, he can never take it back because he can never lie. So Jesus came and more than made up for the mistakes Adam made. God himself became flesh and dwelt among us and paid for all the sins of every single one of us. Past, present, and future. Can I get an amen? So the sovereignty of God concept that's taught in most churches, and we use poor old Baker Mayfield, is that everything that happens to you, God didn't do it. Y'all listening to me? Everything that happened to you, God didn't do it. And God didn't cause Baker Mayfield to get beat last week by the Detroit Lions. Now, God bless him. He had a great season. There's only 30 NFL quarterbacks, and I'm not one of them. And he's making like $10, $12 million, so I don't think he's crying or anything. But it wasn't God's will for him to go to 4 different teams. And I did get the teams wrong again last week, and I'm not going to even go there. Got it? Everybody cool? And that's the first thing that caused people to come. And for a while, they liked what they heard. And then after they heard that, that was like, no, wait a minute now. Wait a minute. You're telling me that God's not the one that gave me cancer? You're telling me the one that God wasn't... let me just give you just a drastic illustration. Years ago, and I don't want to say the lady's name, but years ago, and she's famous and she's a well-known evangelist, this person jumped off into some water that was too shallow, okay? She jumped off into some water that was too shallow. And when she jumped off into this water that was too shallow, it caused her to become a paraplegic, not a homophone. That's from last week. And James cuts it out. He cuts out some of the comedy. Don't cut out all the comedy. And do you know what this lady went around and preached all over the world? And by the way, are we happy that she got born again? Is everybody clear on it? Are we happy that she loves Jesus? Are we happy that people are coming to the Lord through what she says? But she told people that that was God's way for her to get saved and to be able to minister the gospel. If you tell me that God wants me to be a paraplegic, then I'm running. I'm going another direction. And that's exactly why the majority of people drive as fast as they can past churches, including ours, because they don't know what we're teaching. And that's why we go on the radio and the internet That's why people are listening to what I have to say. And that's why I've come under way more persecution, tribulation. The devil's been on my trail way more since we decided to take it out from these four walls. Because he knows we're causing trouble. And we're offering Jesus to people every Sunday. Can I get an amen? Number one, I'm going too far, fast, but we got time. I'm not going anywhere to at least May 31st, 2025. Everybody hear that date? I'm going to ingrain that date in you. All right, then the second thing that people didn't like what I taught was this concept, and I think it's Revelation number 2. Say it with me, everybody. God isn't doing bad things to people. Now, you'd think that'd be good news to people, wouldn't you? But that makes people mad too. And here's what I want to say about that. The Lord talked to me this morning about this. If your doctrine, listen very carefully to what I'm going to say. If your doctrine doesn't line up with Jesus' life, you have a bad doctrine. Listen to me. Everybody hear that? If your doctrine doesn't line up with the life of Jesus, you have a bad doctrine, because the life of Jesus in the flesh was exactly the will of God in action. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I only do what I see the Father do. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 2 or 3 says that Jesus Christ is the express image of the invisible God. Express image. It means that if you see Jesus, you see God the Father in action. Did Jesus ever in his life do a bad thing to anybody? Did he? Here's the way the Lord told me. Here it is. Here's the simplistic message of the gospel. God is love, and he does good. Satan is evil, and he does bad. Now, you know where you learn that? You know where you learn that? In children's church, in Sunday school for children, and then you get them into the sanctuary, and the minister takes all that away from them and says, you don't ever know what God's going to do. Isn't it pitiful? You won't get this out of me. You won't get it out of me. Say it one more time. God isn't doing bad things to me. To me. To me. I'll be a people. Okay? Now, the third thing that got me sideways with the rest of the Christian community was really and truly Revelation number 6. But I didn't want to have to start over and change all the titles to the 6 greatest revelations I've received as a Christian. Revelation number 6 will actually fit in the decision-making process. Revelation number 6 will fit, so we'll stay with 5 revelations, but this is actually the 6th revelation, and who knows, next week it might be a 7th revelation. But here is the other thing that I teach that people don't understand, but I'm telling you, I can show you from the Bible it's correct. The saying's up there, Jordan. Mama's got it up there. Listen. Oh, you talking about getting some people mad. Ooh, this gets people mad. See, I'm killing religious cows. Do you know that? I'm killing religious cows. God's not doing these things to you. There's not some mystic plan he has. He only does good things. And then here's the next thing. People aren't saved by prayer. People are saved by hearing the word of God. Say that with me, everybody, out loud. People aren't saved by prayer. People are saved by hearing the word of God. There's nothing more sacred in most Christian churches than the concept of prayer. And prayer is taught all through the Holy Bible. But there's a way to pray, and there's situations that you pray, but when it comes to getting people saved, you can't pray them into heaven. You have to have the courage. You have to have the boldness. You have to have the stamina. You have to have the conviction to be able to transfer to other people the information in you that will get them to be saved. The greatest example of this, and I won't turn there because of time, because I haven't even got to my demonstration here. The greatest example of this is Acts chapter 10, where Cornelius, everybody remember the guy named Cornelius in the book of Acts? He was a Roman centurion. He was a man of wealth. He was a man of prestige. He was a man of honor. And the Bible says that he prayed to God always. He gave alms generously to the people. But what did it leave out about old Cornelius? He prayed, he gave alms, but he wasn't a Christian. He wasn't saved. So praying to God, is that good? Giving things to the people of God and for the benefit of the kingdom, is that good? But does that get you saved? So an angel appears to him, says, "Hey boy, God's been looking at you." See, God sees all of us, and God sees the heart. And the angel said, God's seen what you've done. He's appreciating what you've done. But you got to go get a guy named Peter that's over in Joppa that I've shown a vision to. And you've got to send for Peter. Listen to this now. Listen. Who will give you words? Who will give you words whereby you must be saved? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You can't pray somebody into heaven. You have to preach and teach people into heaven, because faith comes by hearing what the word of God says. It is the incorruptible seed of the word of God. I'll put it up now, Jordan. It's not in the lineup. 1 Peter 1:23. I'll put it up right now. Having been born again by somebody praying for me. Is that what it says up here? Look up here now. Come on, don't look at me. Look at the verse. Look at the scriptures, the living scriptures. Having been born again because somebody fasted and prayed and stayed in their prayer closet for 14 days. No, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, how? Through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. Life is in God's word. Healing is in God's word. Salvation is in God's word. Deliverance is in God's word. The word of God is what sets people free. Now, where's prayer come in relative to salvation? One of my favorite verses, I think it's Matthew 9:35, I think, Jordan. Matthew 9:35. Here's where prayer comes in relative to getting people saved. Here it is, right here. I love this text, but I'm scared I'll get stuck on it. Go to verse 36 and go to verse 37. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few." Verse 38, watch this now. Here's prayer. "Therefore pray the Lord of the harvest that he saves everybody." Is that what it says? No, that doesn't what it says. "Therefore pray the Lord of the harvest that he raises up a big old prayer warrior chain." And all I got to do is get on that prayer warrior chain list. "Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest." And the laborers that go into the harvest are going to teach and preach the word of God that brings salvation to those who will believe it. Now, this is just solid, fundamental Christianity 101, and not one in a thousand people understand it. So what you want to do is you want to pray that God would raise up people. And listen, this is going to sound arrogant, but it's the facts. You're going to pray that God will raise up people that know the word of God and that can teach and preach the word of God to people. Amen. I watched something this week. How many of you ever watched Duck Dynasty? Remember Duck Dynasty, the Robertsons? Frank's one of their cousins. Frank Robertson. Amen. Anyway, I saw a show with Phil Robertson on Glenn Beck, and I don't think I've ever heard a man proclaim so simplistically and yet so magnificently the plan of salvation and what the Word of God does in our life. And look at that. God raised up an old redneck hick from Louisiana, a present-day, modern-day John the Baptist. That's what you got to pray for. You got to pray that God will raise up people that have studied the Word of God, who have dug into the epistles, and who have discovered who they are in Christ Jesus, and then they want to tell what they found out to other people. Don't ever get something from God and think it just belongs to you. Tell it to somebody else. Can I get an amen? What's made it difficult here? We don't believe in the sovereignty of God as taught in most churches. We never think and we never believe that God's doing anything bad. And we don't believe you can pray somebody into heaven. You have to preach somebody into heaven. Last week, I put this on my Twitter page. And I'm going to give you a little humorous story about that. Since we don't have any young kids in here, I can tell you this too. Oh, y'all getting excited now. Frank says, what is it? Here's what I posted on Twitter. Let me say this to you first. I get excited. I go on the Twitter. How many of you have gone on the Twitter page? Just any. Somebody raise a hand up. Have you gone on the Twitter page? Praise God. Okay. Well, go on the Twitter page. How do you get it? From the Facebook? It's all right. Facebook, Twitter, tomato, tomato. Okay. Before I get here and tell you this, I go on the Twitter page and I notice that I'm getting, I got up to 13 followers. Boy, I got excited because I had 8 and I went up to 13. You know, man, 5 in my life is a revival. 5, and I've been ministering for 27 years. 5 is a revival. And I'm like, praise God, I've went from 8 to 13. And I click on there, and when I click on there, it's people from different countries with barely any clothes on. And I'm sanctified, you know, I'm sanctified. I only glance at it. I glance at it, and I thought, well, she had a little Scandinavian gal's kind of cute. What did I tell you? What did we do? I said, Teresa, I said, for whatever reason, only people that's following me are some girls from different countries with no clothes on. She said, bring that phone over here now. Get that thing over here right this minute. So every time it shows up, she blocks them. So Jordy don't get any ideas. They're gone. Isn't that sad, though? How they do that? They must just have they just do a blanket address of people. But anyway, we fixed that problem. It still gets me all excited, though, when I see, not looking at the girls, when I see I've got more followers. And then I turn to, now I've got 10 that are clothed, fully clothed. I got 10 that are fully clothed. And I love them. I love all of them. Keep listening. So here's what I said last week when I posted the sermon. We continued part 2 of Revelation number 5, the decision-making process. The most important thing we can do in life is get with people that have the right information. Say that with me. The most important thing we can do in life is get with people who have the right information. So truly, Revelation number 6, put it up one more time. I want to say it again. Revelation number 6. People aren't saved by prayer. People are saved by hearing the Word of God. Really fits in with the decision-making process. Because here, I wanted to throw this in too. Let's go back to PIBD. Let's go back. When I say PIBD, all of you know now, except Gary, he's been to California racing cars and, you know, doing whatever 77-year-old men do. Praise God. That's impressive. Probably built 2 houses, too, probably, didn't you? While he's out, just built 2 houses, rebuilt an engine on a 55 Chevy. I can talk about anything. I know all about it. Anyway, all right, PIBD. Remember this? Say it with me. People impart information to us that forms our belief system that determines the decisions we make, PIBD. Now, don't tell me that this isn't true, and don't tell me that if you put something out long enough, if people put out information long enough, even though it's wrong information, don't tell me they won't buy into it. You know me, Maria, you know who I am, and you know I got to bring a sports illustration in. So the other day, we watched the Buffalo Bills play the Kansas City Chiefs. I wish Dewey was here. Daggone it, I bet on the Chiefs. I didn't bet, but I'm in a pool. And I think it was minus 7 And with the wind chill, it was minus 21. And we watched the football games, but I wish they wouldn't scan the audience and watch those people go nuts. Like those people think when they beat on that fence, you know, and they got on all kinds of stupid things and they beat on that, that's going to affect the quarterback. All it does is affect you. But don't tell me that people don't hear stuff long enough. 10 degrees below zero, wind chill factor of 27, people decked out in hoodies and down jackets and everything they can to be warm, and just got a toboggan on where all you got's your mouth. Everything else is covered. And guess what they got in their hand? Beer. Beer. Now you're going to tell me that that's really and true. But here's what made it worse. The two things they showed, they were drinking Bud Light. My gosh, if you're going to drink something, make it something other than Bud Light. But you're going to tell me that you're sitting in 10 degrees below zero weather, 27 degrees wind chill, so covered up that all you can have is your mouth, and you're going to put in your mouth a cold beer. Now, why do you think that person's putting in their mouth a cold beer? Because all their life they've told, this Bud's for you. Can I get in? Don't tell me advertising don't work. Don't tell me. Don't tell me it don't flash into your mind. Don't tell me. And I thought to myself, my goodness gracious, what you ought to have over there is some hot chocolate. Amen. Really, to tell you the truth, you ought to be at home watching it on TV in 4K HD TV or whatever that is. Amen. Everybody hear me? So here's what the Lord told me to do. I got up the other morning. He always talks to me in the morning about stuff. One more thing, James. I got probably the most positive responses from last week's sermon than I've ever gotten. The one that I put in quack, quack. For whatever reason, that quack, quack really appealed to everybody. See what you miss when you don't come? Listen to that when you get home. Quack, quack. I got all kinds of responses. So I'm telling you, earmark that in case we have to do a best of. Okay? I had one of my dear regular listeners that listens regularly on the internet and is a contributor to the church. He told me he thought it was the best sermon I ever preached. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't really like it when people say that. I just like them to say you're great. I don't like you to say it's the best sermon you've ever preached, because then you think, next week I got to do one better. And all I ever judge my sermons on, I tell you, before the living God, I've made a lot of mistakes in my life, and I have done things that I could have done a lot better, but I will tell you this, the only thing I judge my sermons on is God with me and helping me do it. And if he's with me and helping me and anointing me to do it, I can't judge him. But that one appealed to people because it was just so realistic that every time you think you got one duck solved, here comes another duck, right? Here comes another duck. Quack, quack, quack. So anyway, in the morning, one morning, the Lord began to talk to me about Mark chapter 4, the sower sowing the word. And we're going to go through it. This is going to be at least a 2 or 3 or 4 week sermon, and we're going to go through it. But I said, and he began to talk to me and discuss some things about it and show me that in that sower is the decision-making process. And we're going to get to guys like us that believe everything I'm talking about. I'm assuming if you come here, that you're coming here because you believe what I'm talking about, especially if you come here at 8:30 in the morning, right? Yeah, Jerry says, yes, right, God, in case you go to 9:30. Anyway, I'm assuming you believe it. I'm assuming that's why you're here, right? Anyway, he was talking to me about the sower sowing the word, and he was talking to me how it fits into the decision-making process. And as he began to talk to him, I said, but Lord, how am I going to illustrate the seed and the ground and the different things that come against you for the seed to germinate? He said, how am I going to do that? I said, I don't have any seeds. I've never planted anything in my life in the ground. Have y'all? How many of you ever done any planting? Oh, look at all them hands go up. Gardeners. Chauncey the gardener. But I've never planted anything. I don't have any seeds. But he reminded me, see, the Lord knows everything about us. He said, son, you got all kinds of coins at the office. He said, let these coins, careful, Frankie, let these coins be your seed. So I did. And so, of course, I came out and told Teresa about it. She said, I said, do we have a box that'll hold some coins in it? And she said, no. Get in there and make breakfast. You're a good sport, right? Amen. So I went to the office, and all these coins, I don't know if you can see it, and I'm scared. And I also did it for another reason, in case kids show up. I've got something to give them. But all these, can y'all see that? These are all the coins I've collected just by buying fast food and putting the coins in the thing. And my goal was to see how much money I could collect before May 31st of 2025 and give it to charity. No, I'm just letting everybody, I want everybody to be cool on everything. Don't hear it. Don't believe the rumor. Daddy, it's not going to go anywhere till May 31st, 2025. So that was my goal, and then I was going to give all these coins to charity to see how much we could collect. But I was able to see what he wanted me to do. So let's go through the sower sowing the word. Jordan, we've got it lined up verse by verse for you, and let's start out in Mark 4:3. It says, listen, listen. Everybody say, listen. Behold, a sower went out to sow. Back in the day, they didn't have a tractor or a cultivating machine. I'm way out of my territory here. All they did back in the day is they would have seeds. You'd see them, they'd have their seed in the bag, and they'd just spread the seed. That's how you'd do it. You just spread the seed, okay? So the sower's sowing. Listen, behold, a sower went out to sow. Now I'm using Mark's account in chapter 4, Matthew's account in chapter 13, and Luke's account in chapter 8, because all of them have a little bit of different verbiage that'll help you understand how this all works. So Mark says, behold, a sower went out to sow. Luke says in 8:11, next verse, now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Say that with me. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. The seed is what's being sown, and that seed is the word of God. And we found out that that seed is incorruptible. We found out that that seed has life in it, the life of God in it. We found out that that seed will produce whatever your heart will. Listen very carefully. Oh, gosh. Praise God. Radio and internet listeners, I hope you're listening. The seed will produce whatever your heart will allow it to. Again, this whole story is a complete repudiation of the concept of the sovereignty of God. The only thing that's fixed in the parable of the sower is the seed. It never changes. You know why it never changes? Because God never changes. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The fixed part of the parable is that the word of God is unchangeable. It's living. It'll produce. It'll produce. The variable part of the parable is the heart of man, because everybody's heart's at different stages. That's the variable. So the seed is the word of God. The ground is your heart. Everybody tracking? Everybody cool? So I'm only going to use Mark's illustration of the different ways the seed got spread, and then we're going to break it down. Next verse, Jordan. And it happened as he sowed that some seed fell by the wayside. So in other words, he's scattering his seed, and some of it fell by the wayside, never got into the ground, and the birds of the air came and just ate right off the surface. Now, my goal was, in case we had any children, my goal was is I was going to have them be the birds, and they were going to come up and take the seeds off the ground and leave here with some quarters. Now, looking around, I see that the youngest person we have here right now would be Jeremy. Jeremy, do you have any need for any quarters? You don't want to come up and get the seed? You don't want to come up? Carol, get up and run up there and get those seeds. Get up there and run up there and get those seeds. Get up there. Run up there and get those seeds. Don't put them in your pocket, though. Run up there and get those seeds. Jazzy, get up here and get those seeds. Come on, get up there and get those seeds. Joanne, is it better in person or on the radio? Yeah, but I'll get you some quarters. I know you're working now. I understand that. Jordan, take a break. Get up here and get some seeds. Come up. Get up here. And I didn't know. Nobody's flapping. What about a little flap? Woo! Come up here and get those seeds. David, come up here and get those seeds. Come on. Come on, son. No, you get more than that. Jeremy, get up here, buddy. Come on, son. Flap. Come on. Come on. Don't put them in your pocket. Hang on. Young lady, would you like to come? Would you like to come out and get some seeds? Or you? Yeah. You want to come get some seeds? Come on up here and get you some seeds. In fact, just take them all. Don't put them in your pocket, though. Now, what's the point here? This seed got sown, and it never got in the ground, so it was really easy for the devil to get to. I'll get to that. Here's another reason why I'm doing it. You kids, when we count the offering, and we know who put money in the offering box, I'm not noticing y'all putting a blasted thing back in. And that's on me. That's on me. You got to teach people how to give. See, I'm so proud. Donnie and Becky have taught Donnie about giving. Amen. So all you kids that got those quarters, sow that back into the kingdom and put them right back here in that box. Sow them in there. Jordy, get up here and sow them. See, you ain't getting those quarters. Put those things back in there. Sow that into the kingdom of God. Sow them back in the kingdom. Because you got to give. Y'all see the point? Does anybody really need some quarters? Because we're not going to be stingy. Jazz, you need those for maybe a lunch break at the... Huh? Okay. All right, everybody cool with the first seed? Did it get anywhere? Did it do a bit of good in the world? All right, next verse. Some seed fell on stony ground where it did not have much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. So this is that seed. It gets down, see, it gets down in the ground a little. See, it's in there just a little, but it's not in there very far. So can you still get to that seed? Is it easy to get to that seed? Can Jerry just reach down in there and get him some seed? Could he just reach down and get it? Amen. Don't put it in your pocket. But you could just get that seed out of there, couldn't you? See how easy that is? Frank, we're not giving you any. What the seed needed to do is get down further in the ground so that it could get some root attached to it, so it could get connected to something. And then you can get him in there, and then lo and behold, you'll start seeing some growth, right? You with me? Now, you guys are both givers, so y'all can keep y'all's. All right, everybody cool with this? So this gets sown, but it don't get sown very deep, and so it doesn't have any root. So it's easy to get to. Now, next verse. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. Next verse. I should have just read the verses first. And some seed fell among thorns. And I'm going to tell you right now, in this room right now, this identifies most of us. I'm going to tell you right now, if you stay with me, this is going to identify most of us. Remember, I told you how it affects people that believe what I'm talking about. And obviously, you must believe what I'm talking about or you wouldn't be here. But this is the seed that affects most of us. And some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it didn't yield a crop. So I use this mug as an illustration. I got my seed down there in the ground pretty good. See, it's down in the ground pretty good, right? See that? It's down in the ground. So it's going to take a lot more effort. It's going to take a lot more effort for this seed to get devoured, then I feel like I'm doing a biology experiment at school. It's going to take a lot more effort to get to this seed than it is this seed. But you can still see, Cheryl, that if you put a little effort into it, you can still reach down there and get you some seed. So in all three examples, the seed wasn't protected. Right? Now, this one here's got no shot. This one here got no root. It may not last long. This one here, it actually got a little root to it. But oh, there's trouble brewing. Get it? Brewing. Not Bud Light in it. Just brewing. Very cool. Verse 8. But other seed fell on good ground. Now wait a minute. Let's rehearse. What does the seed represent? Is it fixed? Is it absolutely the same? Does God ever change? Is it living? Is it powerful? Will it produce in the heart of a believing person? But other seed fell on good ground and yielded a crop that sprang up, increased, and produced. Some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. So this was the hardest one for me to come up with, but I thought about it like this. Because one of the Bible scriptures says that we have this treasure. What's this box represent here? A treasury box. Treasury box. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. So what I did is I just put all the rest of the coins in here. And man, it's yielding a crop. See that? See how much crop that's yielding? It'd be kind of fascinating to see how much money that is. And we're going to know that on May 31st, 2025. And not only is it yielding a crop, but it's being guarded. Guard your heart with all diligence. Proverbs 4, 20 and 21, Jordan. Guard your heart with all diligence. I think the Old King James says guard. Guard your heart or keep your heart with all diligence. Now, what does that mean? Wait a minute. Wait. That's that preacher that talks about responsibility and effort and fighting the good fight of faith. I don't want that. I want it to be up to God. I don't want it to be my fault. I want it to be my wife's fault. I want it to be my kids' fault. I want it to be my boss's fault. I want it to be because I have the wrong skin color. I want it to be because I was born in poverty. I just don't have a chance. No, guard your heart with all diligence, because the Word of God says that nothing shall be impossible to him that believes. I just read this morning in Luke, men always ought to pray and not lose heart. You're not going to produce a crop if you're not willing to fight, if you're not willing to put some effort into it. And I'm preaching to you because I'm preaching to me, because it's been about a year that I've actually started actually living this, not completely, but way more than I was in the past. And I'm telling you, it's made a tremendous difference in how I treat others. And it's made a tremendous difference in how my relationship with God has changed. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Let's go back to this lineup, Jordan. Everybody tracking? You understand why it takes courage to listen to these things? Amen. Did you know there's no condemnation? Did you know we're all in this together? Do you know that the strong are supposed to bear up the weak? Do you know that? You know we're not presenting this because we're trying to act superior to anybody? Whoo, life's tough. There's a duck around the corner. There's a duck around the corner. Somebody said, I don't have any ducks in my life. Well, just stay alive. You must not be old enough. Either that or you've been drinking way too many Bud Lights. Can I get an amen? So, and he said to them, listen to this. And he said to them, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Now, do you think he was talking about these things right here? You think that's what he's talking about? No, he's talking about the ear of your heart. See, the word of God will never work in the head. It's nothing. It doesn't do any good. The word of God in your head won't work. The word of God has to be in the heart. It's with the heart. It's with the heart one believes. It's with the heart. Say that. It's with the heart one believes. The heart's made up of your spirit and your soul, which is your mind, your will, and your emotions. And he said to them, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Let him hear. And notice it's got exclamation points to it. See that? Jesus is the greatest. There's no words to describe him. That's why God had to give us tongues, because you get to the place where the words are run out. You run out. He's the infinite, almighty, eternal God who created everything. The sun, the moon, the stars. See, if you just think about that. Chase, Phil Robertson, I'm telling you, listen, go on YouTube and bring that up, the Phil Robertson interview with Glenn Beck. Bring that up. He taught me some science I didn't know. I didn't know, and I may have some of this, the numbers a little wrong, but I didn't know that the earth is rotating at 116,000 miles an hour. Did you know that? Can you tell that sitting in that chair, Frank? Did you know that thing's going 116,000 miles an hour? Who could do that? A big bang? You think a big bang could do that? Huh? No, my goodness, come on. Anyway, he was talking about the fact that the earth is rotating around the earth. It's rotating, it's circling the earth at 116,000 miles an hour, and yet we're sitting here like it's not even moving. I thought that was just fascinating. And then he said that it's tilted. God, huh? I love you. So it means that Phil wasn't lying. It's tilted 23.5 degrees, and if it was tilted any other direction by being off by any other way, we wouldn't have the four seasons, because it rotates at 116,000 miles per hour, and that brings winter, spring, summer, and fall. And that reminds me of a James Taylor song, but I won't. All you have to do is call, and I'll be there. Yes, I will. And then, so it's tilted at 23.5 degrees, and that allows the four seasons to come. And then it's 93 million miles away from the sun. And if it was 93 and plus or 93 minus, we'd either burn to death or freeze to death. So you're telling me that this great flame of fire that can hold millions of the earths, we looked that up before, you're telling me that it just decided to sit out there 94 million, 93 million miles away and bring warmth to us because we're tilted 23 degrees. And Mars is too far away from the sun. And I guarantee if you put somebody on Mars, there'd be somebody up here drinking Bud Light. Because it's ingrained in you. By the way, did you see where Peyton Manning sold his soul to Bud Light? Him and Emmett Smith are selling Bud Light, buying Bud Light for the bar. Anybody don't know why we don't like Bud Light? They promote transgenderation. Do we hate people that are transgender? No. But do we dislike the fact that they were dumb enough to do something that stupid? Can I get an amen? All right. And he said to them, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Next verse, Jordan. You're doing good. And this is very important right here. And he said to them, do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? This is the greatest parable Jesus ever taught. And this is a person that put the earth 93 million miles away, that tilted at 23.5 degrees, and that's traveling at 116,000 miles an hour per day. This is the person that taught a sermon so simple that kids could understand it. That's how much he loves you. That's how much he loves us. That's how much he loves us. So I'm only going to get to one part of the seed, and then we're going to sing. They want me to sing, and I guess we all need to sing a little bit. Amen. Next verse, Jordan. Now the apostles come to him. They're called apostles, disciples, And they come to him, and they say, man, what's that parable? And why are you always just teaching parables? And he said, well, I'm never going to tell you. I'm going to hide everything from you. Is that what he did? No. So he explains it. He says, these are the ones by the wayside, never got in the ground, never got in the heart. Don't let me say ground. These are the ones that never got in the heart. These are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, look at this. Oh, my goodness. Here it is. When they hear, who is it? Is it God? Does God want you to produce? Is he glorified when you bear much fruit? Does this blow out the water, the concept that God's controlling everything? No. It tells you that God wants to control things, but he can only control what your heart will let him. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. Where was it sown? He come immediately and took it away. When are you going to get opposition? When you start standing on and listening to and teaching the Word of God. Because he knows it's the Word of God that will produce. He knows how dangerous we've become because we're no longer ministering just to people that come in the building. We're ministering by the radio and by the internet all over the world that can hear the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Can I get an amen? Satan is the one that's after us. Every one of the things that causes growth not to happen, he's behind it on some way. He's behind it. But greater is the God in us than the devil that's in the world. So we're going to get to the rest of it next week. Come on back. I'm going to be here. Amen. All right, let's sing this glorious song by C.C. Winans, and then we'll come back and finish up. Man, let that soak. Oh, man, nothing can separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus our Lord. Shall tribulation or distress or peril or nakedness or the sword? No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither life nor death nor height or anything created will ever be able to separate us, listen to this, from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus our Lord. Oh, God loves us. Your heart has to grab a hold of that. Your heart has to receive that. Your heart has to rebuke the condemnation that's coming from the rotten devil. Just rebuke him. He's an accuser of the brethren, and he's a liar in Jesus' name. I'm teaching to people that have a good and noble heart, that believe the word of God, that are going to fight the good fight of faith, that's going to guard their heart with all diligence. In Jesus' holy name, amen, amen, amen. Listen, man, if you've been listening by radio or internet, I have sowed the word of God into your heart this morning. I've sown it. All you got to do is not let the devil steal it from you. Don't let him take it. You know it's true. People that hear this information, they know it's true. Bless their hearts. It requires a little diligence. It requires a little patience. And there's so many other distractions. But it's the truth. God's not out to get you. He don't want to hurt you. If he wanted to get us, he'd already got us. Man, he'd have got us a long time ago. He didn't want to get us. He wanted to grab a hold of us and love us and say, come on in. It is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. So receive Jesus right now. Just say this with me. Say, dear God, I want to receive Jesus. Life is meaningless. It has no purpose. It has no vision without Jesus. I want to know him and the power of his resurrection. In Jesus' name, I receive him into my life, confess him as Lord, and believe that he died for my sins and rose from the dead for my justification. I am a child of God. If you prayed that, you are. I'm going to teach a little bit about that next week. I'm going to do something else. If you prayed that prayer, you're a child of God. You need to get a hold of a Bible. You need to. And you surely got one. If you don't, we'll give you one. We've got an email address on our website. We'll give you a Bible if you don't really have one. Read the Gospel of John a couple of times and then get over to Romans through Jude and just tear those pages apart till you find out who you are in Christ. It's in the holy and mighty and glorious name of Jesus we pray. And everybody said, amen.